Today, as we continue looking at the Proverbs of the Bible, we are going to take a look quickly at a American proverb. This one is better late than never. The idea behind that is it's better to do something late than not to do it at all. Here's how a conversation might go that involved this proverb. Finally, you're here. We thought you'd never make it. Is everything all right? Sure, we're fine. Please accept our deepest apologies for arriving so late. We got a flat tire on the freeway, and it took us a while to put on the spare. Anyway, here we are. We hope we haven't inconvenienced you. Don't give it a second thought. Better late than never. Thanks for being so understanding. We almost called you to cancel our plans after we got the tire changed, but we decided it would be better to show up late than to not show up at all. Well, you did the right thing. We would have been terribly disappointed if you hadn't come. Let's go to the dining room and eat now. So that is the idea behind that proverb that just gets said, and we all understood what is meant by that. Well, we come to Proverbs chapter 3, and I like how Warren Wiersbe talks about this proverb. He says, the key verses in this chapter are verses 5 and 6, a promise God's people have often claimed as they have sought the Lord's direction for their lives. And this promise has never failed them if they obeyed the conditions God had laid down in verses 1 through 12. God keeps his promises when we obey his precepts, because our obedience prepares us to receive and enjoy what he's planned for us. So, this study of truth that leads to wisdom is commended to all. It's enforced by a contrast of the destinies of the wise and the wicked. So as we're working through this together, let's realize that this is his story. This is how he's continuing to talk. And so point number one as we're working through this is watch the route. Look at verse 1 with me. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Once again, it's familial. It's my son. And my commandments is that Hebrew word Torah from the verb to throw, distribute, or teach. Hence, teachings, commandments. It's used of God's law. But here it is used of the commands and principles that God gave through Solomon. Look at verse 2. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Peace. That's well-being, prosperity, bodily health, that internal condition. When you're at rest, you're contented, you're fulfilled. That's what we're looking for. That's what people really want. Verse 3, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. These virtues of mercy, that Hebrew word is that loving kindness, that hesed, that loyal love and truth that come from God are to become part of us outwardly in our behavior for all to see as this adornment of spiritual beauty, but inwardly as a subject of our meditation. And so that internal, external, mercy and truth, it's evidence of the new covenant salvation. Point number two is watch the rules. Watch the rules. Look at verse 4 with me. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. And remember that story when Jesus was young and he was, he wasn't lost. I mean, God knew where he was, but he was away from his parents and they found him. They finally found him. And we see in Luke chapter 2, basically the end of the chapter, he goes back home. Verse 52 says this, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. So we see the balance of intellectually and physically and spiritually and socially. And that's what goes on as we watch the rules. But then we come to these famous verses that are quoted quite often. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. So we're now at a place in the Proverbs where, oh, I've heard this before. And that trust here has to be total. It's the second part is cast negatively. Do not lean on your own understanding. The root of the verb means to support yourself on something, to lean with your entire weight. It goes on in verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. So that third line is an exhortation, acknowledge, which means simply to know in all your ways, every way. And the paths will be straight. They won't be crooked. Verse 7, be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. This proverb is alluded to by the Apostle Paul. And we see it in the book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 16 that says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. And so Paul takes his cues from Solomon in that way. Look at verse 8. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Healing and refreshment. That refreshment is in the marrow, the inner parts. God is promising physical well-being for those who live wisely according to his will. And such physical well-being is what David forfeited before he confessed that he had sinned against Bathsheba and Uriah. Remember how he was saying in the Psalms how he couldn't sleep and this was affecting his body. That's what happens in sin. But when I'm following God, when I'm fearing him, it's healing to the flesh and refreshment to the bones. Verses 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all you produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. A biblical view of possessions demands using them for honoring God. It's not just about ourselves. And it's accomplished by trusting God, by giving the first and the best to God, by being fair, by being generous, and by expressing gratitude for all. And the result of that faithfulness is to honor him in prosperity, and it brings satisfaction. Verses 11 and 12, my son, so once again, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves, as a father, the son in whom he delights. So we are not to despise discipline. It's some of the wisest of God's children are subject to sin. And there's a necessity of God's fatherly discipline to increase wisdom and blessing. And such correction should not be resisted. It should be understood. It should be received. Verse 13, blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. And that goes back to that Psalm 1, where the blessed is the man that walks with the Lord. It's like a tree planted. And that blessedness is a state of being that results from walking rightly with God. It's not so much emotional as it is factual. Look at verses 14 and 15. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Boy, that sounds like Psalm 19. That divine wisdom that yields richest treasures, and it's described in verses 14 through 18 as profits and length of days and riches and honor and pleasantness and peace and life and happiness. And this happens because of living a wise life. Look at verse 16. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. So that mention of the right and the left hand together signifies that wisdom's generosity and its readiness to give. Verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Ways and paths, the direction and the substance of your life as you make your way through the world. Verse 18, she is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. That tree of life, that expression is a metaphor referring to temporal and spiritual renewal and refreshment. Point number three, watch the release. Watch the release. Look at verses 19 and 20. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. Solomon is indicating that wisdom is the basis to all of life. For by it, God created everything. And since God used it to create the universe, how eager must a person be to use it to live in this universe? Watch the rewards, point number four. Look at verse 21. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. We should guard sound wisdom. The idea there is sound judgment and the success in life which flows from that. Verse 22, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. And so there's an association of wisdom with inner spiritual life that unfolds throughout this whole book. But that adornment basically is saying that wisdom will make you look good. And that's, we all want to look good. So that comes as somebody is being wise. Verse 23, then you will walk on your way securely and your foot will not stumble. So wisdom helps us not to fall. Verse 24, if you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. And that's very practical of God. Because sleep is so important to good living. Verses 25 and 26. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or of the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. You see, living is God, in God's wisdom, provides that basis for us to have peace of mind. And it takes away fear. Verse 27. Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to do it. So be unselfish in what you do. Help somebody out. Don't keep good words from them. Verse 28, do not say to your neighbor, go and come again tomorrow, I will give it, when you have it with you. That neighbor is anyone in need. And whom God brings across your path. So don't play games. If you can help somebody, then help them. 29, do not plan evil against your neighbor who dwells trustingly beside you. So don't plan evil against one that's trusting in your protection. That's sick, that kind of person. But there must be something in us that would play that game. And God does not want us to do that. Verse 30, do not contend with a man for no reason when he has done you no harm. Contend, that means come to hand blows or with legal overtones. Accuse a man. Don't do this. Verse 31, do not envy a man of violence and do not choose any of his ways. Envy is, many lawkeepers wish they were lawbreakers. They would like to be oppressors rather than the oppressed. I mean, I don't know about you, I'll see certain movies and I'll see how Eastwood responds to something or The Rock responds to something. And I think, boy, I'd love to be able to do that. But God does not want us to think like that. That's our sin nature that wants to get back, that would want to hurt somebody. For the devious person is an abomination to the Lord, but the upright are in his confidence. That abomination is an attitude or act that is incompatible with God's nature, and it's intolerable to him. And so a person that's being devious, that is just the opposite of what God would want. Verse 33, the Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the dwelling of the righteous. Another reason to not envy, or you just want what the violent have, they're against God, and that's not smart. Okay? Verse 34, towards the scorners he is scornful, but to the humble he gives favor. The humble, he who bends himself. God heads toward those that are humble. And then verse 35, as we wrap up, the wise will inherit honor, but fools get disgrace. The contrast between the ultimate honor of the wise and the dishonor of the foolish man is seen throughout the scriptures. So let's avoid that. Let's not go that direction.